For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to John's Gospel, the fourth chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 46. Gospel according to John, chapter 4, beginning with the 46th verse. John 4, 46. These words are recorded. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Well, read for your hearing from John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 46 through verse number 50. May the Lord continue to bless us through his holy word. For subject, no signs today. No signs today. With the advances that have been made in medical science, the day may soon come when a medical emergency can be handled without any need for travel. A missionary who may be very far away and who might need surgery can then be operated on by a doctor in a large neighboring city without having them together in one place. It may sound strange, but in the last few years, some long-distance operations have already been done successfully with the use of robotic arms that are controlled by a doctor or technician at another location. And it is hoped that long-distance robotic surgery may one day be allowed to use and be allowed to use by a surgeon on Earth to operate on astronauts in space. Now, all of this helps us to appreciate how awesome the power of God really is.
Yes. Yes.
You see, it reaches over the longest distances and is not hindered by cost or by speed. A wonderful demonstration of divine long-distance healing can be found in our text where Jesus heals the nobleman's son without going to his house.
Yes.
You see, although the critically sick child was over 40 miles away, and Jesus healed him at the father's request, and the healing was effected at that very moment. You see, this was an amazing miracle, but there's a greater miracle that Jesus accomplished through this. See, it was the salvation of an entire family from sin and eternal death. You see, this is the first recorded instance in the New Testament of a family that was brought to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This story of how that faith developed is quite interesting. You see, according to our text in verse number 46, Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, and this was the place where he had performed his first miracle, where he turned water into wine at a wedding feast. And by the time he returned to Cana, the news of this miracle would have spread by word of mouth to other parts of Galilee. And added to this reports that there were other miracles that he had done recently in Jerusalem and Judea. And many Galilean Jews who had been in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover and had witnessed these miracles must have talked about them when they returned to Galilee. You see, this is probably the reason why the Galileans received him so warmly when he came, as it was said in verse number 45. We can imagine their great excitement and their high expectation that Jesus would now favor them all with miracle after miracle. For one very anxious father at Capernaum, which is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee, the news of his coming to Cana was the only hope that he had of saving his child from dying. Yes. See, his little boy was ill. And since the father was a nobleman in the king's service, he had probably sought the help of all the royal physicians and the best doctors in Galilee. But none of them could cure his son. And day after day, I believe he watched his restless boy tossing and turning with fever and growing weaker and weaker as his life seemed to drain away from him. And I think that every mother and father can identify with that awful feeling of hopelessness and fear that would grip the heart as you watch your baby tossing in bed with a high fever. And then the nobleman heard the news that Jesus had returned to Cana, and this was the bright ray of hope that he had been looking for. Wonderful coincidence? No. Nothing less than God's providence working with clockwork precision to work out his glorious purposes. Nothing ever happens by chance when it comes to the Lord. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And so without delay, the nobleman set off for Cana on his fastest horse or maybe chariot to get Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his dying child. And perhaps throughout that long journey down by the seacoast to the highlands of Galilee, we can imagine how he must have prayed on the way that Jesus would be kind enough to come with him to Capernaum and save this little boy's life. But according to verse number 47, when the nobleman found Jesus, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, the word which is translated besought in this verse is in a form which implies continuous, repeated action. You see, while Jesus was busy preaching and attending to the needs of many folks, here's the nobleman keeps on calling him and begging him persistently, come with me to Capernaum at once and heal my dying son. Now, when the nobleman's cries finally catch the Lord's attention, The reply that Jesus gave was almost unbelievable. He said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Doesn't sound like Jesus at all. Did not seem to be a kind and compassionate Savior at all to this grieving father. But be careful not to make a premature judgment. Look at what the text says. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. I notice that the word Jesus used is ye, which is plural, and not thou, which is singular. So you see, these words were therefore not addressed to specifically the nobleman by himself, but also to all the entire class of people that he represented, the Jews. See, the Jews were always asking Jesus to show them miracles. They were not like the Samaritans in John chapter 4 who had believed in Christ without seeing any signs and wonders. Paul stated plainly in 1 Corinthians that the Jews require a sign. And when Jesus cleansed the temple in John 2, the Jews had immediately asked him, what sign showeth thou unto us, seeing that thou do these things? You see, such conscient sign seeking is not good because it betrays a weak faith. Faith which has to be constantly supported or strengthened with miraculous signs, it's a weak faith. So in this case, there was no signs today. You see, I'm sure that we all know people who would love to see signs and wonders. If you were to ask them why, some would say that seeing is believing. Some would say, I'm from the show me state, so you got to show me before I believe it. We really want to see miracles. We want to see signs and wonders. Thousands of people will come and attend these so-called faith healing rallies because they want to see whether somebody can actually get up from a wheelchair and someone can actually open their eyes and see who were blind. Someone who would say they were deaf can now hear, or someone to be able to do the things that Christ had done, raising the dead and bringing them back to life. When Jesus said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe, he was lamenting that this was true of most Jews of his day. You see, they flatly refused to believe in him unless they saw him doing convincing signs and wonders. And that's not so far-fetched today. You know, we have them today who come to church and they won't believe because they don't see signs and wonders. Joe, he's been limping for 4 years, and he come to church every week, and we keep wondering why Christ won't heal his limp. You see, everybody don't need to have their limp healed. It doesn't have to be that way all the time. You see, if the nobleman's motive was the same as the other Jews who craved for signs, Christ would not have told him that thy son is healed. You see, the nobleman believed what Christ said, turned around without question, and headed for his home. You see, at the point that the nobleman received the blessings from Christ, he was somewhat like faith was like an uncut diamond, had yet to be proved. It was in need of refinement. So what the Lord did was to tell him to go thy way, that Jesus only granted part of the nobleman's request. Keep in mind, the nobleman said, come to the house. Come home with me. Come, heal my baby. But Jesus said, go thy way. Your son liveth. Some of us would stand there and argue with him. He said, but the ambulance is over here, and we need to get an ambulance. We got to hurry up and call the doctor. Someone has to be there. You see, God does not always bless us with the answer to our prayer in the way we want him to. Too often we will ask God to bless us, and then we'll instruct him on how to do it and when to do it and at what way to do it. But here is how the Lord blesses you and tests your own faith. And see, some of us has to understand, like the nobleman, trust God at his word and move forward as it is already been done. No signs are necessary today. No signs. We have to, whatever we ask the Lord for, leave it up to him on the way he will answer your prayer. What you must do is just simply trust him. The nobleman did it, and while he was on his way home, some of the servants met him on the way and said, your son liveth. And he said, when did this take place? They said, he's living at what hour? And the hour that he told him, he said, that's the same hour that Christ said, thy son liveth. Now keep in mind, the nobleman did not know it when he turned from Christ and headed home. He headed home with the faith, knowing that Christ said he would do it. Some of us has to have that nobleman feeling and realize that all our prayers may not come with signs. Amen. And wonders. Amen. And if we look back on our life today, all we can do is see where God has blessed us. Yes. All the way down the line.
That's right.
And if you have dared to keep a log or a journal, you'll see all through life how God has answered your prayers.
Amen.
And some of you still don't even know it.
Amen.
That God has blessed you and told you what he wants. You see, we have to understand we must give God the praise for knowing that he has blessed us and kept us according to his word. You see, when the nobleman obeyed Christ, his faith was confirmed just by turning and headed home. He confirmed his faith to the Lord. Some of us have to start confirming our faith in Christ. When he said his stripes, we are healed. The healing may not be that previous thing that you think is the most pressing thing. But when you get to the doctor and find out that if something had not happened, another part of your body may have been destroyed. God works in mysterious ways.
Amen.
Mysterious ways.
Hallelujah.
You see, in verse 53, it tells us that the nobleman was not alone when he received that faith. For the key in this whole blessing was that his whole family, through believing in them, Christ, were saved. Your whole household can be saved. Stop looking for signs and wonders. Start trusting that God is a doer of his word and will do just what he said he will do. You see, too often we get caught up in the rhymes of religion rather than the faith of God's word. Yes, he did come. He died on Calvary. He arose, ascended unto his Father. But he did that for you and for me. And as a result, he is available now to heal, to deliver, and to set free all who will call upon his name. It's just not for us to be saved and then sit down. We're to be saved and then allow him to use us in our walk down here until he calls us home.
Amen.
There is a nobleman mentality that ought to be in all who share in the name of Christ. Receive his blessings and turn and walk and do his will.
Amen.
That's why he went to the cross.
Right.
That's why he suffered. That's why he died. But most of all, that's why God raised him up from the dead.
Yes.
And made it possible for you and I to have a right to the tree of life once again. Don't quit. Walk in Christ. Believe, stand on that faith,
yes.
And God is indeed still
yes.
in the blessing business.
Amen.
Stop looking for the sky to open up. Stop looking for someone to come riding around with wings on their back. Just trust God. What he said in his word is true. He's still healing. He's still blessing. He's still delivering. But most of all, he's still saving.
Amen.
No signs today. May God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.